श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासी भक्तवृंद हरे
many Upanishads, we find one Upanishad which is very, very interestingly composed. It consists out of questions and answers. The one who questions is Maitreyi, the beloved wife of the saint Yajnavalkya. They sit together in the forest, and Maitreyi asks very relevant questions about many subject matters of human interest, ranging from how to live happily in this world to how to get liberation from the pangs of this world, like death and rebirth. And Yajnavalkya gives answers. Sometimes his answers come immediately, and at other times his answers come after the saint has gone deep in meditation and contemplation and seen with, in a spiritual way, the answer to the questions of his wife Maitreyi. You may know that the old saints in India are called rishis. Rishis means seers. They can see the truth in a spiritual way appearing in their hearts. So imagine the scene, a beautiful forest, nice sun rays in the distance, a lake shimmering with cool water. And under a mango tree, you will have to remember this word mango, you need it for the lecture. Under a mango tree, slightly on an elevated seat, Yajnavalkya, the saint, with grey hair, and before him very humbly and inquisitive, his good wife Maitreyi, asking a question. Oh, venerable saint, yes. What are the two most essential human needs? What are these needs? When they are fulfilled, the human being doesn't want anything else any longer, because indeed he feels complete and fulfilled. Yajnavalkya acknowledges the question. Very good question. Yes, he answers. And he goes deep in a meditative trance, makes contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his heart, and then comes out with a beautiful, or comes forward with a beautiful answer, which is extremely relevant for all of us. I also feel for the entire world. I have been in different peace conferences with the UN and so on, and I've talked about this, and I've given, and they all went, yes, what are the deep human needs? Tell us Yajnavalkya's answer. Maybe we can somehow, you know, bring these answers to use for the human mankind, who all look so needy at this time. So Yajnavalkya gives this answer. The two most essential human needs are, check these answers very carefully if you can deal with them, if they are for you also. every human being wants to experience love, first need, and every human being wants to give his love. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to love or express his love. Indeed, when the human being is able to do this, he feels fulfilled. Because out of fulfilling these two needs, everything else comes into his life. If a person can receive love and give love, everything else comes. I didn't believe that really until I came to Mumbai. In Mumbai I saw one particular scene which convinced me that this answer is entirely correct. I was driving in my in the car and I looked at some beggars. They were in a little tent besides the road, or a shekel, and so on. And it was just a moment. We were in a traffic jam, something, nothing spectacular in Mumbai. It happens every very often if you don't know the right times and to travel. And I looked outside, and I for half an hour I was in this traffic jam, and I looked at my neighbors, the beggars. And really, they lived so poorly. But as I looked into their living room, you know, the shack or the tent, I saw love. There was a mother, a little child, singing songs, singing, Gopal, Gopal. And the beggar man came and looked at his wife and his little son with beaming eyes. And really, the wife looked back, oh husband, oh son. There was a giving and taking of love. And then the beggar came out of his little tent beaming with happiness. And everyone who saw the man just went down with his window and gave him rupees. I also put my window down and said, take my meal. I don't eat today. This is for you. Because I felt here's something so beautiful. Yes, these people don't have a lot of money. They are not Mr. Millionaire. They have no political influence and not a voice in the Daily Mirror of Mumbai. But they are so content in their little, let me say it, like we said in the room, in their little cozy bubble or atmosphere of love. They seem content. They seem complete. On the other side, like all of us preachers, we sometimes visit houses with tremendous luxury, abounding in beauty, and people just acting so bad and so tyrannical and so cold with each other and looking so absolutely distressed and bad. I visited once one of the richest men of India. We met on the Juhu beach and we were walking on the beach and he asked me, so Swamiji, what is the wisdom of today? And I told him some Krishna katha. And then I asked, so what is the business secret of today? So we became friendly to each other. And he once invited me into his house. A house where you could cut with a knife the dense atmosphere of misery, of not loving relationships, but the opposite, atrophied feelings, amputated love. I feel, in comparison, I admit this is a little drastic comparison, but just to make a point clear, to experience love and to give back your love, that fulfills the heart, because it allows us to enter into a current of, you could say, of loving energy. Now in bhakti, or in spiritual life, we wish to establish this relationship of love to the most loving person, the most lovable person who lives in the kingdom of God, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And as we are successful in making a loving connection, it's called sambandha, a bond of love, a tie of love with God, we feel our needs are very, very fulfilled. There's a prayer in this connection which I would like to read to you. A prayer from Queen Kunti, who had a very eventful life, a life where she saw her oldest son die on a battlefield in the blood of his own heart. The arrow which was shot by her third oldest son. A very dramatic event for a mother to see how one son kills the other son. It is the most terrible thing which a mother could experience in her life. It is the most heartbreaking thing. And this was happening as a culmination of a series of events in Kunti's life, it would take another lecture to really discuss this. So after this drama of family quarrel, broken hearts and broken love and all that, Queen Kunti, in great devotion, turned away from the world of men, where such tragedies can sometimes happen, and totally directed her entire attention on Krishna, and prayed a prayer which is so much a prayer of trying to establish the loving connection with the Lord. And please hear this. I will read it in Sanskrit because it's just so beautiful. You might feel something, and then the English will come. Tvaimenanya vishaya matir madhu pater ratim udvatat adagango vogam udanvati. O Lord, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction and love be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Queen Kunti turns her whole being, her whole emotions, her whole affection towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, praying for a loving relationship, praying to be allowed to that her feelings flow like a river to the sea, into the great sea of the Lord's heart. She prays for the Sambandha with all her being. Because she knows that really the human heart feels the highest amount of ecstasy, which is not interrupted and disturbed by misunderstanding. When his love flows to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when he feels some of the love of Krishna. When His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj visited me in my little Eremitage on the top of the mountain in Manga, I was in great pain, physical pain. And he so lovingly came and said, "You need medical attention. Come with me to Mumbai. Our hospital staff will care for you and repair you." And they did. They were so surprised. First they put you into full anesthesia, and then they put something into you, and afterwards you are in a new body when you wake up. So successful minor operation and a lot of other medical care, and they repair your car, give new tires, new windshields, and say, "Now go, Maharaj, go." Fully repaired. But there was a time when the pain was so bad, and I noticed, what is my shelter now? What is my shelter in the face of physical pain, emotional heartbreak? And what is my shelter at the moment of death, when everything, not just my possessions, but my life breath will be taken away violently from me? What is my shelter in this world? And it is of course very clear, the shelter is the Lord. I prayed, I said, "My Lord, I don't want to pray now that you repair my physical body, but could you please arrange something so that I can function?" And the next moment I saw His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's smiling face, and he said, after three sentences, "You need medical attention." And I could immediately put the two things together: Radhanath Maharaj's smiling face and the Lord. See, if you want to have the love of Krishna, Krishna may sometimes respond by giving you His love through the devotees. The devotees of Krishna, the devotees of God, fulfill a plan of God. They are instruments, so to say. The Christians in Europe have a saying, God works with His hands in this world, which are the other Christians. That's an understanding which they have. Similarly, the devotees, the bhaktas of Krishna, know that Krishna fulfills His plans, which He has for each one of you, sometimes through His devotees. And you can experience the love of God through His devotees. In this connection, I would like to tell you a very nice story. Once, deep in the forest, there was an ashram which had been opened by one singular saint. His name was Radha Mohan Goswami. And Radha Mohan Goswami had come deep into the forest and had done his sadhana under a tree. There were still wild tigers there. But because he was such a powerful devotee, soon more became attracted, and then they built this beautiful ashram. This ashram became very popular, but it was still in the midst of the forest, and sometimes tigers would try to enter and steal some from the kitchen. So there was need of keeping a chokidar, a dog guard, like our Prabhu there is our dog keeper. He is the powerful man here. So there was, you call in India, a guard, a chokidar. So it so happened that there was a farmer living nearby. This farmer came one day, knocked at the doors of the ashram because he wanted to visit the temple inside the ashram. But this time the farmer said, "My dear brother chokidar, you are such a great soul. You were the first one to allow me in this ashram and allow me to see the deities of Radha." The deities were called Radha Gopinath in that ashram. "I want to just express my gratitude by giving this papaya to you. It's the best papaya from my papaya tree. It is very mature and very nice." The chokidar felt, "I'm just doing my duty. The one who really should get the papaya fruit is Swamiji, Radha Mohan, who opened this ashram and who made this facility that I could do my service at the garden, that you could, and so on." But he didn't speak to the farmer. He just acknowledged, "Thank you so much, thank you." Then when the farmer had taken his darshan and had left the ashram, the chokidar went to Swamiji. "Swamiji, I always wanted to say this to you, but I'm somehow a hard-hearted man. But today I want to express my gratitude. I'm so thankful that you allowed me in this ashram. Please take this papaya as a token of my love." Swamiji took the papaya, said, "Thank you." But in his mind he thought, "I didn't do anything. I just sat here and prayed, and Gopinath did everything. So when the chokidar was gone, he thought, "In our ashram we have a sick brahmachari who already lies for 3 months in his bed. He needs a little vitamin C." So he went to the brahmachari and said, "My dear brahmachari, you did such wonderful service. I always want to express this. Don't feel bad that we now nurse you. Please, you take this papaya, take some vitamins, it's good for your health." "Me? Why? I'm so worthless," said the sick brahmachari. "But very, thank you, Swami. You came to my sick bed and gave me a papaya that just means so much to me." So then the Swamiji had gone. The brahmachari thought in his heart, "I should really express gratitude to the cook who always cooks the steamed vegetables and baked potatoes for my diet." And when Cook Prabhu came, he gave the papaya to Cook Prabhu and said, "For you." It's a long story. I think you slowly get the point. Cook Prabhu gave it to Govinda Das, who chants 64 rounds. Govinda Das thought, "I'm just trying to serve. I give it to the newcomer who lacks in faith. I think if he sees a papaya, he will think how great God is. He just packaged a beautiful fruit complete with outside and inside, and his faith may grow." So, newcomer, "Fuck, you are so such an advanced devotee, and you give me a papaya? Thank you." Then the newcomer thought, "I should really express my gratitude to Brother Chokida. He allowed me entry into the temple." So he said, "Chokida, I always wanted to say this. I'm very grateful for you for opening the door. Here is a papaya for you." So Brother Chokida got the papaya and thought, "Oops, I know this papaya." "I wonder how this papaya came to me. Let me track the journey of the papaya." So he went to Swamiji and said, "Swamiji, how did you like my papaya?" And Radha Mohan Goswami said, "It looked very mature and very nice, but I didn't eat it. I thought it should go to our sick man who's always lying there. He needs a few vitamins." "Yeah, it's all right," said Chokida. "It's all right, Swamiji. I just wanted to know." So he went to the sick brahmachari. And I have many other things to tell, so I will make it short. The sick brahmachari said, "I gave it to Brother Cook, but I so much relished the love of Swamiji. It was much more important than the relish of a papaya for me." Brother Cook said, I took the papaya, but just to, that someone comes to me and says, "Thank you for your cooking," meant so much for me that I thought, I'm complete. I don't need to eat this papaya now. "Aha," said Brother Chokida, "to whom did you give the papaya?" "To Govinda. Does this need always 64 rounds and more? And sometimes he fasts. He doesn't come regularly to the meals. I said, let him have a papaya." So then Chokida came to Govinda. "You received a papaya? What did you..." "Yeah, I received it and I thought so much love came from Brother Cook. I was overwhelmed. I didn't need it to eat, so I gave it to the new man." "Thank you," said Chokida. Then he took the papaya, brought the papaya in his room, cut it up, offered it to Krishna, and ate it all by himself. Because he thought, this papaya is not an ordinary papaya. It is a papaya which has come to me by the circle of love. People gave it to each other, but what they really did is they gave their love, their appreciation, their deep feelings of gratitude to each other. It's a love-laden papaya. It went through the circle of love. I now offer it to the Lord. And I relish it now. Then when he was in the midst of his eating, Swamiji came. "Oh, what are you eating?" The brahmachari could all of a sudden walk again after he had experienced the love of Swamiji. He came in the room. "What are you eating?" The cook came in the room, and Govindadas came in the room, and finally the newcomer came in the room. And Chokidar said, I'm eating the papaya of love. Would you like to also join me? And they all sat around in the circle and ate the papaya together. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, my dear Radhanath Maharaj, I have picked this story to express something which is deep in my heart. Obviously, the Swami in my story is not Radha Mohan Goswami, he is Radhanath Swami. The people in my story are people from the Radha Gopinath community. A community which has learned, some of the members I guess are still learning, to enter into the circle of love. Where you know the true love or true completeness lies in giving and not in holding back, or even worse, in taking. If we can make this story of the papaya a daily affair where we express our gratitude and our gratefulness, and where we also receive gratefulness and love, our love, our life is complete. No further needs. The other needs which we have, needs for security, emotional well-being, some social well-being, physical well-being, they will come when, once this magical and highest energy of love is flowing freely. You must know, my dear devotees, that deep in the human heart, almost undercover, underneath the surface, you understand? There is a river flowing. It's a river of love. But because we are so often disappointed in this human world, in trying to express love and receive love, and there's so often misunderstanding, this river of love has become dammed. Dammed, I'm not so good in English, but I mean with dammed here, that there is a dam, a blockage in our hearts, and our love is not flowing freely because of fear, because of maybe disappointment and frustration. And this love which flows is therefore creating problems. When energy is not coming out, when energy is not working freely, you become diseased. When the circulation is blocked, or the nervous system is blocked, or the different physical energies are blocked, you become diseased. And this has happened to most of the human beings. This strong current of love is a river of love which is meant to go to God and which is divine. But because we have blocked this in this world, because we don't live the life of ecstasy, we don't live the life of love, we are afraid of giving. We hold back behind our facades, behind which we protect our insecure egos. Therefore, we are frustrated and our life is a struggle for existence. The human being still feels some love, even when he has damped or closed his love of God. He experienced something which is called an overflow of love. Do you know what happens when you put a dam before a river? The water will rise and then it will flow over. So in the human, the divine love is closed up in most human beings, but they experience what flows over. They experience, for instance, love for money, and then that love is called greed. Or they experience love for a beautiful woman or beautiful man. You know, when you come drive to Mumbai nowadays, you're bombarded by these beauty queen, and there are advertisement looks that kills, and you know, and all kinds of enticing advertisement meant to direct that love which is blocked in some shallow way towards human bodies, and then it becomes lust. It's not the real ecstatic experience. Or even something pure, which is considered pure, a family man like I saw, who loves his child. That the original powerful flow of the river of love is now experiencing an overflow towards his child. Do you follow? You follow. But whenever something flows over, which is damped, it's not as strong as the original current. Love of God is the very powerful energy, but lust, greed, motherly affection, which is very good, I admit, motherly affection is very good, it is not as strong. It is not as fulfilling, and therefore it is sometimes not able to overcome misunderstandings. Like the mother may love the child, but we know when children grow up, they give so much pain to the mother and the father out of ignorance, and the love, there's a misunderstanding can happen, and so on. Only the original powerful stream of love of Godhead is powerful enough to get rid of all these bad things which happen on the journey of love. Krishna speaks about this point, that misplaced love in comparison to real love. He says, Vitaraga baya krodha mammaya mangupashrita bahavo jnana tapasa. He said, what you must become free from if you want to experience the original current, and as you study the things you must become free from, it's divided love, it's overflowing love, it's not the real thing, it's the shadow reflection of love. He says, become free from attachment, this greed, become free from fear, become free from anger, and become absorbed in me. Take shelter in me alone. In this way, many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. My dear devotees, I want, in closing this lecture, encourage you to experience the strong river of love, to bring it out from your heart, to free it from the dam under which it hides, and to let it flow very, very freely. And I will leave you with 3 points how you can do this. My first point is, to free your love, you have to develop love. You have to develop love to people you can see before you can love. Or let me say, phrase it like this: love what you can see before trying to love what you can not yet see fully. Or to translate it into very simple English, love the devotees of God with whom you interact, whom you can see, before trying to develop pure love to Gopinath, to Krishna. Krishna says that our freeing our love has to happen like this. He says, one who says he's directly my devotee, he's not my devotee, but one who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he is indeed my devotee. So I really request all of you to daily do something where you can express your love towards the devotee, and don't run away when they express their love for you, giving you prasadam, inviting you to a function like a counselor meeting maybe, or a Sunday program, or I hear tomorrow and the day after tomorrow there is drama, there are theaters, drama. Allow yourself, don't be so timid. Timid means fearful. To go into a loving exchange of devotees. I must admit to you, I'm from North Germany, almost it's the land of ice and snow, and I have learned very much from Radhanath Maharaj and your community, this flow of love. It's surprising for me. I can't believe, for instance, how the devotees treat not just me, but everyone in the hospital. It's just so loving, so caring, and you feel, is it real, or is it, am I in the wrong movie? So, and after some time you understand it's real. It's not an illusory thing. They really feel like that. It's not a movie. So this is my first recommendation. Participate in the circle of love. Become a papaya giver and a papaya receiver, if you want to remember the story. Give every day your papaya. Don't worry, you will get many papayas. My second thing is, make your contact with Krishna every day. Life in this world, Prabhupada said, is almost like living in a hurricane. You know, when you see a hurricane, things are constantly changing. A desk comes flying at you, and then the next thing, a displaced window, and a crutch, and then a pizza comes flying at you. So as we go through life, very often there are surprising events which are hurled at us, like diseases, disappointments, and so on, and unexpected things, surprises. Learn during this time to make shelter, to take shelter in Krishna. Connect with Krishna. Take every day in the hurricane of life shelter in Krishna by by hearing some news about Krishna from the sacred scriptures or from the mouths of devotees. Do you know what happens in a hurricane when you find the center of the hurricane, the eye of the cyclone it's called? Then there's perfect peace. So even in difficult situations, when there's maybe some not such ideal situation in your exams, or if you are a Bollywood star and you get kicked out of the movie, surprise, I guess, yeah, some Bollywood stars amongst us, or you know, if you are suddenly confronted with illness or with unfortunate, or if you are suddenly confronted with tremendous and overwhelming successes, it's all the hurricane. It's all temporary. It comes and goes. Make contact with Krishna and you will be in peace in the hurricane of life. Learn every day to make contact with Krishna. I mean, many lectures have been given about this here in this temple, but you can learn it. It's a science how to make this higher contact. If you are a newcomer in the in this temple, there are beautiful lectures which are really systematically explaining to you how you can experience divine contact in your life. It's wonderful. But here, just for you, I would say, don't be satisfied if you see how your mind is like a hurricane. Mumbai is like a hurricane. I think you will readily agree. Even a ride through Mumbai on a car is like a major adventure movie. You know, it's like an expedition to the to South America in the jungle. You know, it feels so scary when the three-wheelers come at you, and the last moment you think they drive over you, they go yeep yeep yeep, it's a hurricane of life. And I can imagine how passionate the town is and how it takes its toll. Some of you have to drive in the Mumbai trains and buses, which are a minor version of the hellish planets. So, yes, we can talk honestly here. A Westerner like me would most probably not survive a train ride. He wouldn't know how to hang on the 10th person who is hanging out of the window, and how to do such acrobatic masterpieces. Life here is tempting. Life is passionate. Life is a hurricane. If you don't learn how to go in the center of the hurricane, that means make contact with Krishna, from which everything comes, you will be washed away by the hurricane called Mumbai. And your consciousness will be washed away. You will be inattentive, disturbed, easily angered, easily put out of your balance, easily crying tears, easily laughing at the wrong moment. Life here is so taxing. You need to learn to go into your center and meet Krishna by either learning how to chant properly, learning how to read in the scriptures, and so on. So these two advices I leave you with. I don't want to speak too complicated. Learn to enter the community of care, or the circle of love, or to express your love and receive love. And also learn to let this divine flow of love, which is dammed for so long in your heart, learn that it comes out. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, let's go back to that idyllic scene in the forest which the Upanishads describe. What are the two most essential human needs which when they are fulfilled, make the human being complete. Scott Kvesh and says, Yajnavalkya. And after coming out of his realized trance, he says, to love and to be loved are the most important human needs. Everything else happens and this is taken care of. We in Bhakti know that the strongest experience of love is when you can make your original relationship with Krishna, with God, when you can become a lover of God, totally immersed in God. And we have many examples in the Shastras of wealthy people who, for the love of God, have forsaken everything. Like Raghunath Das Goswami. We have an example like Haridas Thakur, who was in the hurricane of life beaten mercilessly with whips which were meant to kill him. And he took shelter in Krishna, chanting his holy name, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare.
Thank you, you chant so beautifully. It's a really lot of svarta sound which you produce. Thank you. It's a good experience to sit here and hear you. He was people were murdering him and he just connected with the Lord and felt transcendental bliss. Later, he had a direct darshan of the Lord. And the Lord said, Haridas, do you remember when you were beaten? Haridas said, yes, my Lord. Haridas, do you... I wanted to come and take these murderers away from you. But you prayed for them. I couldn't do anything. So do you know what I did? And then the Lord turned around and showed Haridas for a moment his beautiful back, and there were bleeding whip traces, or the traces which killer whips had left on the body. And they were on the beautiful body of the Lord. I took the assault, the attacks, the whip lashes upon me. Then they disappeared again. Someone who is in a communion with God, who has made contact in love, where there is a loving relationship, he doesn't even need protection from outside things. The Lord protects him. He may send his devotees, make an arrangement with this through his dear confidential devotees. Oh, he directly may arrange something for you. My dear devotees, please take this serious. Make a loving relationship with the devotees and with Krishna. You will receive all your love you need, all the protection you need in your life, and will be a fulfilled person. Don't be afraid that if I give my love, what will happen? It will be like giving my dollars away, or my American, or my rupees, and then I have no rupees. No. The moment you enter into the circle of love, you will be nourished and supplied. The Shastras tell us, if you water the root of the tree of God, all the leaves and branches will prosper, there will be leaves and fruits will come automatically. If you give your love to Krishna, the fruits of a fulfilled spiritual life will come automatically. But note, you have to give your love through the devotees. or in the company of devotees, then it's acceptable. I want to thank you very much. This was not a very systematic presentation. I was overwhelmed whenever I'm with Radhana Maharaj. I'm just very moved that he is so kind to me. It was really very moving and very fulfilling. And then when I sit with Chandramouli Maharaj, who is also very dear associates, I meet him often in Croatia. That's somewhere near the ocean. Simple geography. the Atlantic Ocean, huh? Somewhere not so close as Spain, but I think Mediterranean Sea won't say much to you, but Adria and all. Yeah, when I'm sitting with the devotees like this, and when I see all of you, I'm very, very happy just to be part of such a loving family. And I did hope I could inspire you. If you forget everything from this lecture, please don't forget the papaya. It is the summary of what I have. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gaurinithai ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Gaur Premanande ki jai. Very mature.
This papaya is very radical. It feels like you've used it for the last 10 lectures.
No. This story is actually with a mango, and I said to someone, please get me a mango. I desperately need a mango. So I could not tell them for what I need the mango, because then the surprise of the surprise effect wouldn't be there. So they all looked at me with blank stares. Why does Maharaj need a mango? Is he a sense enjoyer? And then finally, I could find someone who said, I mean, you can't get a mango, but we get a papaya. So it's the first time. But in Russia, I told it I used an apple. Because there are no only apples. So. But you can also use... bananas, no problem. Because the story is neither about mangoes, papayas, apples, or bananas. It's about giving love and receiving love.
some surprise will happen.
This was no substance, only.